Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. To get a sense of the tone of the new comedy series American Auto, consider that SNL alum Anna Gasteyer plays an automobile CEO who doesn't even drive. The new modern workplace sitcom takes on the auto industry, specifically a legacy car company, Payne Motors, that is hoping to stay relevant and struggling with its past, including a founder who was a Class A racist. Let's listen to a scene from episode one. The team gets into a conversation about why people even like cars. The first voice you hear is Anna Gasteyer as CEO Catherine Hastings, you know, the one who doesn't know that much about cars.
Guys, I think we need to step back and ask ourselves, what do people like about cars?
You don't like cars?
I mean, they're fine. Sometimes I'm in a place and I need to go to another place, and cars help me do that.
Cars are where form meets function. Name one other thing that's utilitarian while at the same time a fashion accessory, a status symbol, and a work of art.
A wristwatch.
Uh-huh, that would be another one.
Okay, for me, a car is about freedom. Once you get in that thing, you can go anywhere you want.
You've literally never left Detroit in your entire life.
Now, why would I want to leave Detroit, Sadie? I just got Wi-Fi.
Okay, when people are buying cars, they look at a bunch of different factors. There's fuel economy, safety, price, comfort.
Can I just say, like, as a regular guy who didn't go to business school or anything like that, I like cars because they're cool. That is it. They look cool, they sound cool, they are fun to drive. That's why I don't get why anybody ever in their right mind would want a self-driving car. Driving is just fun.
That is from American Auto. The first five episodes see the company face a serial killer using one of their cars to abduct people, a union up in arms, and a CEO who used to run a drug company, by the way, who is mostly interested in optics and her stock options. American Auto can be streamed on Peacock or Hulu, or you can gather around the TV on Tuesdays at 8 on NBC. Our next guest is the creator of the show. He's also created Superstore and served as a co-executive producer on The Office, as well as a writer for Scrubs, Justin Spitzer. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Allison.
And also joining the show is actress, comedian, and singer Anna Gasteyer. She stars as Payne Motors CEO Catherine Hastings. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. So, Justin, you've tackled these workplace comedies, hospitals, paper companies, big box stores. What is it about the auto industry that lends itself as a setting for a workplace comedy?
I'm sorry, about the auto industry?
Yeah.
The auto industry was more of an afterthought. I wanted to do a comedy set in a is that static? It's just on my end, or is something happening here?
You sound okay to me.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'll move on. I wanted to just do something set in the corporate offices of a giant multi-billion-dollar multinational corporation. And I didn't want it to be sort of a jokey, widgety product. I wanted it to be something we identify as like an age-old American industry. The auto industry just seemed like the most obvious one. It touches everything. It touches manufacturing. It touches global trade. It touches the individual consumer. So that just gave us a lot of opportunity for stories.
Yeah, I understand this was something you were interested in before Superstore, and you had to come back around to it. What changed over the course of time?
The industry changed a lot. That wasn't the reason I came back to it. Was just that at the time it didn't get ordered to pilot, and then I did Superstore, and then over time I would be talking with sort of the NBC brass, and there was still interest in doing it. And so then when I left running the show Superstore day to day, this just seemed like the obvious choice. But then I sort of dove back into the pilot, and so much had changed. You know, when I wrote this in 2013, it was all about electric cars and could that appeal to red America. And, you know, the idea of a self-driving car was not on anyone's radar, at least no one that wasn't in the industry. So I ended up rewriting it pretty significantly.
So Anna, your character, Catherine, why did she take this job in an industry she knows nothing about and is about something she doesn't even do? She doesn't drive.
Well, that's probably a question for Justin, but my justification as I have created her and play her, which I do with great joy, I might say, is, you know, look, it's interesting. I mean, there's definitely a quality of the moment. She's a high power woman. I think she was a CEO in big pharma, and I think if I had to answer on her behalf, it would be that she wanted to work in a more traditional male-run sector that she probably hasn't had access to before. I mean, you know, very few women are still at the top of the heap of the Fortune 500 companies. So I think it's like 8% or something. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that Catherine is of a 90s MBA generation that's like absolutely wants to become a titan, you know, a titan of industry. She doesn't really care that much whether or not she knows about the actual things she's mm-hmm. manufacturing as much as her stock options, as you mentioned in the introduction.
What is something that you like about working in this workplace comedy setup?
There's enormous confidence to CEOs. There's a mm-hmm. there's a sort of like weird simultaneous ADD and incredible commitment to what they are focused on in the moment. And I think that I admire that confidence. I admire, even though so much of the comedy comes from her fumbling around and worrying and second guessing, she actually technically isn't that big of a worrier. And it's, you know, I think she's really, she's deeply, because she's in over her head, because she doesn't know about cars and she's working in a, in an industry, you know, in the automotive industry, she can't, it's really good writing on Justin's part. I mean, mm-hmm. she can't ever fire any of these people because they know she's they're translators. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they literally speak the language that she doesn't speak. So she's deeply reliant upon the people, with, you know, for whom, who are working for her, with whom she's been foisted, you know, upon whom she's been foisted, I should say.
Yeah, Justin,
so
it's interesting.
Fun, just dynamically.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the writing, because I have to say, I watched the first five, and at first, I kind of came to like Catherine more as it went along.
Oh, good. I hope so.
You know, it was sort of interesting. I was like, oh, okay, is this going to be this thing? And then I sort of came to, maybe not like, I appreciate what she's doing a little bit more. Tell me a little bit about developing Catherine, because she could just be the sort of the butt of the joke, but she's not at all. Yeah. It kind of gets interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's sort of the fun of any of these shows is, you know, you can start a show and have a character, especially the character in charge, be sweet in every episode and always do the right thing, mm-hmm. And that's perfectly fine. But I kind of get excited about having a character who has some rougher edges, who has some qualities that you might think are unlikable at first, and then over time you humanize that person and you realize why they do what they do, or you see moments of vulnerability, moments of competence. You know, I think Michael Scott on The Office was clearly a huge example of that. Mm-hmm. But I think you see that on lots of shows. I mean, what's his character? You know, Danny DeVito in Taxi. Well, you know, you grew to love him over time. You know, he wasn't the protagonist. But and I think as the show goes on, if fans stick with it, they'll come to love her even more. Definitely by the end of this season, we'll understand her a lot more. And the characters in general. I mean, this is not a sweet show with people just trying to help each other all the time. You know, mm-hmm. these are people that operate out of self-interest, but at the same time, I think they're largely good people, and we'll start to understand that.
Yeah, it's very much about the dance between, like, you know, CYA culture, uh-huh. you know, literally just covering your own ass and actually doing something good on the planet. And it's kind of a cool moment that I don't know how much, I can't remember what's happened in episodes 1 through 5, but that, you know, corporations in particular are these kind of vilified organizations, and we're all kind of waking up to the power that they have, but they are also waking up to the power that they have and realizing that there's some need for social good and social change. And I think to a certain degree, Justin's done a really good job of, you know, to a great degree, but Justin's done a really good job of dancing around that. You know, what are they responsible for? Where do morals start and paychecks start and all that stuff?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Justin, some of the moral and ethical dilemmas that you were interested in writing about in American Auto?
What were some of them? I mean, you know, in most recently we talked in 105 that opera aired last week. It was about, do you keep a factory in America that employs Americans, or mm-hmm. do you ship that factory overseas? We also dealt with organized labor. We deal this coming week with representation in television commercials, and some other issues. And they're kind of fun because it's you know, we all sort of, you hear about an American company moving jobs overseas, your instant reaction is to think like, well, screw them, you know, look out for Americans, and then to try to think, well, what does it look like from their point of view, where it's like, well, this car is going to be profitable if we move it overseas or not profitable if we keep it here. But then there's costs to moving overseas as well, to in public perception and other things. So that's sort of the challenge and the fun, is trying to get in their heads and try to imagine, you know, what does that discussion in the boardroom look like? What are the different positions that are brought up? Because those positions are not going to be, here's a way that we can screw people just because we want to screw people. There's going to be a reason for every decision they make.
My guests are Justin Spitzer, creator of American Auto, as well as Anna Gasteyer. She stars as the CEO of Payne Motors in this sitcom. So I want to get to this other clip I have in episode 2, Anna, where Catherine is trying to work the press cycle. The executives have been alerted that a serial killer has driven away. I shouldn't be laughing. The serial killer has driven away with his victim in the back of one of their cars. Set up what Catherine thinks she can accomplish by going on the local news.
Right. Oh boy, you're challenging me. Yeah. So maybe Justin, do you want to? Because you're the storyteller.
What she thinks I think she wants to. She wants to put the story out there. There's been this story that they've put out this terrible car, and she wants to put a story out there that we're helping the FBI catch this killer. The FBI
right.
is asking for help, sort of using their OnStar satellite system to help it. And she thinks that'll make the company look heroic.
Yeah, and she's more concerned with the optics of looking heroic than, you know, thinking through some of the privacy and privacy issues at hand of her customers.
Let's take a listen to this clip from American Auto.
Ponderosa to less than stellar reviews. And we're joined by the new CEO of Payne, Catherine Hastings. Catherine, welcome.
Hey, guys. Pleasure to be talking with you.
So, coming from the pharmaceutical industry, some of these articles must have been a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I sure wish that I had some sugar to make that medicine go down.
Sure.
Well, is it possible that your experience in pharma just doesn't translate to cars?
Well, you know, it's a learning curve. For example, in my last job, the FBI never asked me to help them catch a serial killer.
A serial killer?
Yeah, apparently this guy has murdered at least 12 people. He drives a Magellan, so the FBI asked for our help in tracking him down.
And you're just giving up that information? I mean, it seems like there might be a privacy concern with that.
Seems like there might be.
But, well, this guy, you know, killed 12 people, so.
So if he killed 11 people, you wouldn't be cooperating?
Yeah, at what point do you violate the privacy of your customers? It's a slippery slope.
No. I said that the FBI had requested this information. I didn't say that we were just handing it over.
So you're fighting the subpoena?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are fighting it.
We are fighting it for the people.
Wow. That's news.
Yeah. Yeah.
You heard it here first. Payne Motors standing up to the United States government in order to protect serial murderer Johnny Turner.
Well, I'm sorry.
Next up, we'll delve into the life and crimes of Johnny Turner, a.k.a. the Michigan Monster.
Oh, my God.
Who will be his next victim?
Stay tuned.
We're clear.
I need to talk to a producer about just so we can make some cuts.
That is from American Auto. So when you're thinking about playing Catherine on it, what do you think she's really actually good at?
I think she's actually better at well, we're going to see it more and more. I think the simple answer is people want a leader and they want mm-hmm. someone else to make the decision. And I think she's pretty willing to take the hit, even though she, you know, internally might sell out some of her employees and, you know, create kind of internal drama at work. I think at the end of the day, she is their leader. She is sort of the grown up in the room, and she's the one willing to make the call about things. So I do think you see some of that coming down the pike. And I think she probably doesn't crack really when true pressure is upon her. You know, we see her sort of sweat, but she never actually all the way cracks.
Justin, I'm sort of curious, as someone who's had a lot of experience over a long period of time with workplace sitcoms, and it's sort of interesting to be watching them now since so many of us haven't been in the workplace in a while. Maybe there's a little bit of nostalgia there, right?
Yeah, the wish fulfillment.
But it's been just so interesting to watch them, and this one as well, as especially Superstore. I love Superstore. Take on some really difficult topics and some serious topics while still maintaining the funny, but also really making some interesting pointed statements and commentary and making people think about it. I'm curious why you think the workplace sitcom is a good vehicle for that? And how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, workplace sitcoms, I always say the reason I like writing them in general is because you have all these very different people from different backgrounds who sort of would not be together by choice. They have to be. They may have a common interest, but really they're just forced to be together in an environment that creates lots of stress and competition and where they spend probably the majority of their time. So that just gives rise to conflict. And also because you have such different people, you're going to have opportunities for different discussions, and different people are going to have different points of view, even more so than you might with a family show or a sort of an ensemble friends show. And so that's part of it. And then, I don't know, in terms of dealing with issues, I'm sorry, was that the other part of your question?
Yeah, it was, yes.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we never, on Superstore or this, or even on The Office when we would deal with occasional social issues, it was never about, like, we want to teach a lesson, we want to advance the conversation. You know, maybe advancing the conversation kind of happens just by talking about issues, but it really is, like, what's something that provides us with an opportunity for comedy that maybe we haven't seen done a million times before? And that's the thing about any social issue is 10 years ago, the social issues were different. And so even if they were talking about it, they were talking about it differently. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. I mean, it's fun to try to talk about in the writer's room, to kind of take positions that you might not even agree with, but kind of talk them through, try to imagine what different characters might think about that, knowing that those characters are probably, again, not approaching any of these issues from necessarily like a biased point of view or anything, that they're just, everybody has a reason they believe something. And then I think each specific workplace has issues they deal with. So, you know, on this show we deal with whether, like I said, to outsource labor. That's something that we never dealt with on Superstore and that The Office didn't deal with. But there's Superstore dealt with organized labor a lot. We will too, but we're taking it from a different point of view. You know, on Superstore, unions were the heroes, and here they're the pain in the butt. That's a big part of what I love about doing these kinds of shows.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. The whole racial bias in AI comes up because the driverless car only stops for white people. There's a lot of really interesting things you touch on. Before I let you go, Anna, you're a New Yorker. Do you drive much? We don't usually drive very much.
No, I don't drive very much. I take the subway as much as possible. I actually get car sick really easily. So, I do know how to drive, okay. You know, in case of emergency, but no, I'm a New Yorker.
There you go. Yeah. The name
I'm a Trader Joe's on the bags on the subway.
My kind of gal. The name of the show is American Auto. I've been speaking with its creator, Justin Spitzer, and one of its stars, Anna Gasteyer. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And that is all of it for this hour. I'm Allison Stewart. I'll meet you right back here after the news.